Savior. Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God. God bless you tonight. Amen. We want to ready for the Word of God. Let's get our Bibles. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Praise God. Hebrews chapter number 11. Amen. Again, I want to say thank you to everyone that has offered up a prayer for me, my health. And I'm just going to be honest, I've had a couple of different health issues this past year. And some know about it, some don't. And I didn't elect to tell anybody. But I had a spell before the Bell's palsy stuff. And so it has caused me to really stop and to look back and to reflect upon some things. And, you know, this watch that you got me, that was by request. If something was going to happen, that was by request. And because I am trying to watch my health and such. And so I'm feeling good. I went to the doctor Tuesday, and he told me, he said, you know, he said, I don't think I have ever seen recovery from Bell's palsy that fast. Never. I just raised my hands in his office. I said, thank God. God has been good to me. Praise the Lord. But this watch, it knows more than I do. And it tells me that my stress level is, can you believe that? It tells me that my stress level is high. And it's been telling me over the past few days that my stress level is coming down. And then it has another thing called the body battery. And my body battery, after a full night's sleep, I don't know, it's got all these special formulas and stuff that it does. But my body battery, after a full night's sleep, Sunday night, Monday, my body battery started off at 38%. After a full night's sleep, 38%. And so it detects when you're sick and when you're stressed. And so being smart, it told me, it said, you need to keep resting. And so today I woke up and my body battery was at 88%. So I've been resting, I've been doing it, and so it tells me all the little tricks of the trade and the secrets, and said the way that you can get this higher is you're going to have to rest, you have to eliminate stress, you're going to have to do this. So anyway, we're getting there. Amen. Praise God. And I want to be the best that I can be, and in all areas of life. And so anyways, that's just my story. I'm sticking to it. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not going to like me tonight because it equates stuff like this as stress. And so it's going to tell me that I don't need to be stressed this late at night because it affects my sleep. Amen. Praise God. So we won't go an hour and a half. We'll just do an hour. No. I want to be very conscientious of you. And I know that some of you are here tonight, you don't feel your best, and I want to be very cognizant of that. And so let's just see what the word of the Lord has for us here tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11, we're going to read two verses of scripture. We're going to start at verse number 1. All of this is so very, very familiar. But the Bible said, Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now, I know that you have heard preaching on that, so we're not going to get into that. We're not going to dive into that. We just need to accept that. Faith is the substance of things not seen. I don't see it, but I believe. I've got faith. It is the evidence. Say faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. I hope this is going to happen. I hope all of this, and I believe it's the evidence of things not seen. Now let's go to verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise God. Now I'm going to try to mind, it's not my manners, but I'm going to try to be careful tonight, as if I get to talking too fast, I start stumbling and slurring. And so I'm going to try to slow down, but that's like trying to be short-winded. Praise God. I want to preach here for a little bit of time tonight. The rewarder will reward. Amen. The rewarder will reward. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us here tonight. God, we love you. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. God, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for all that you do for us. Pray, God. God, that you would help us here tonight. Praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. I am excited. I'm excited about this year. I'm excited about this month. I'm excited about this weekend. And I've been praying and stuff. I can't read. Well, I started reading just a very, very little bit yesterday, and I was able to read today. And so thankful for that. And but the Lord, I was doing something the other day, and the Lord just chastised me. And he put scripture in my heart, and so I'm going to look forward to preaching that. You're going to hear about the chastisement of the preacher on Sunday night. Praise God. And then Sunday morning, I feel like the Lord's going to help us out there as well. But we got tonight here right now. Praise God. Amen. The rewarder will reward. Now, there is a job. Number one, first of all, we have to have faith. The Bible said that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And then the Bible says that without faith, we cannot please God. Amen. It is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. And so every one of us, the saint and the preacher alike, has got to have faith in God. You're going to have to fight for your faith, because the devil is out to steal your faith. Any faith that you may have, the devil is out to steal it, because he understands that if he can steal your faith, then you can't please God. And so you are going to have to stand in defense of, and you're going to have to fight for your faith. Amen. Now, the preacher has a job. Amen. And the preacher's job, amen, is to preach faith into us. We've got to have that. Romans chapter number 10, verses 14 and 15 says,
how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
How shall they hear without a preacher?
Yes. And how shall they preach except they be sent?
How is he going to preach except that he be sent? All right, continue on, verse number 17.
So then faith cometh by hearing.
Faith cometh by hearing.
Yes. And hearing by the word
hearing
of God.
By the word of God. That's the way that you're going to get faith. You've got to have a preacher that's going to preach. That's what he said. He said, how can they believe except that they're going to hear something? And how can they hear if nobody preaches? And faith cometh by hearing. And so you've got to hear the word of God. Yeah. The word of God infuses faith into our spirit. Praise God. It's more than just waking up on a day and say, you know what, I'm going to take the power of positive thinking, and I'm going to have a good day, and I you know what, I'm just going to believe that's going. You got to have preaching. I've got to have preaching. I've said it before that if I can't preach myself into the altar, I'm in a whole heap of trouble. Praise God. And so we've got to have faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Praise God. I want you to know that hearing the word of the Lord is more than just reading your Bible. It's more than just listening to your Bible on some audio cassette. You've got to have focused preaching, amen, that is able to pinpoint things in your life through the Spirit, being able to deal with things that not even the preacher knows about. And sometimes we don't even know about. But God uses the preaching to get into our hearts and into our spirits that in time to come, we would think to ourselves, whoa, wait a second. I think I've already heard a little bit about that. God forewarns us, and that's the power of preaching. But preaching is there to infuse the faith that we need in God into our spirits. Praise God. But it's not good enough just for the preacher to preach. You've got to hear it. Amen. James chapter number 2 and verse number 20.
So then faith cometh by, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead.
Faith without works is dead. Verse number 26.
For as the body without the spirit is dead.
Body without the spirit is dead.
So faith without works is dead also.
I want you to know that your faith without works is also going to be dead. You've got to put works with your faith. Let's look at it in a little more simpler way that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter number 7. Read.
Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Now Jesus is dealing with some people, and he says, now let's talk about some things. He said, because everybody that says, Lord, Lord, they're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven.
But he that doeth the will of my Father.
He said, here's something. He's going to have to do something. Yes. He that doeth the will of my Father, read.
Yes, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?
I want to pause right there, because what's going to be said here is that these people are going to come and they're going to say, wait a second, we have done some things. We have works with these things.
Yes.
We have done many wonderful works in your name. We yes. have cast out devils in your name. We have prophesied in your name. We have done some works. Amen. But listen to how Jesus talks and deals with this.
Yes. And then will I prophesy unto them, I never knew you.
He said, no, he said, you may have done some things, he said, but I didn't know you. And here's why.
Yes. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock.
All right, so Jesus says, now here's the catch in everything. You don't get to go just do what you want to do. You don't get to just go be who you want to be,
yeah.
when you want to be. You can't be one thing one day and another thing another day. One thing on Sunday and another on Monday. And then profess that you've done all these marvelous works. He said it's the complete word.
Yes.
He said when you learn to listen to me completely and do everything that I have said, I'm going to liken you unto a wise man. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Read.
And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
It's founded upon a rock. Jesus said, this is the type. He said, I liken this unto the one that hears what I say. You don't just go do what you, he said, you hear what I say. And then you do what I say. You're a wise man.
Yes.
But then he likens the others unto.
Yes. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not.
He said, but then there are those that want to hear what I have said or that have heard what I said. He said, but they don't do that. They still go do whatever they want to do. Read.
Yeah. Shall be likened unto a foolish man.
That man's a foolish man.
Which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and the great was the fall of it.
He said, great was the fall of that. And so he said, he's taught us, and he said, there are some things that the preacher has to do. He's got to preach so that you can hear, so that you can have faith, because faith cometh by hearing. But if you're going to hear, then you've also got to be a doer of the word, because faith without works is dead. It's not enough to simply proclaim, I have faith. You've got to walk by faith. You've got to do some things by faith.
Right.
And if you do what I've told you to do, you're like a wise man. But if you don't do like I told you to do, then you're like a foolish man.
Yeah.
And so the preacher's job is to preach faith. And it's the hearer's job to hear faith and to do faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing without hearing by the word of God. Because without faith, Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6 says,
yes, but without faith, it is impossible.
You cannot do it.
To please him.
It's impossible.
Yes.
There's no way. You're not going to be able to do enough calisthenics in the church house. You're not going to be able to do enough community hours among the community. It is impossible to please God, because God, amen, you must believe that cometh unto God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. I'm so glad that my God is a rewarder.
Oh, yes.
Do you understand where you would be if you were serving Buddha? Do you understand where you would be if you were serving Allah? Do you understand where you would be if you were serving Muhammad? Do you understand where you would be if you was an Ethiopian or some Egyptian that was serving the moon god and the sun god and the rain god? You'd still be in a heap of trouble. But my Bible says that our God is a rewarder. And when you begin to diligently seek after him, God comes down and God comes through. Praise God. And so he is a rewarder. Amen. Praise God. Give me a second to read this word so I can figure out how to pronounce it again. The word rewarder in the Greek, because you know that when you get into the Greek, it always means something great, powerful. So I went over to the Greek to find out what this word means. This word, it's bigger than a shoe size. Mistopedosites, whatever, I don't know. And so I looked it up in Strong's. I looked it up in a couple different places. And the all-powering, fulfilling revelation of what this word means is simply this: rewarder. That's just, it's just what it is. It's just very, very simple. It means rewarder. There's nothing mystical about it. There's nothing behind the scenes mind-blowing. It's just rewarder. Well, surely there's translations that have a better understanding, because that's what translations are for, is so that we can get a greater understanding. And so I've got some translations here for you so that you can hear how that this has been translated. The English Standard Version says,
but must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
He rewards those who seek him. So there's got to be a greater one. With the Amplified Version, the one that expounds on everything, says this:
must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out.
It just simply said he's the rewarder. And so let's get in depth, and let's go to the Young's literal translation of Scripture, which says,
believe that he is, and to those seeking him, he becometh a rewarder.
Is there anybody going to say anything different? What about the American Standard Version?
Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him.
Then one of the greatest has got to be the interlineal standard version.
Must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who diligently search for him.
All translations that I use, every one of them substitutes nothing for rewarder. It simply means he is a rewarder. It does not matter what translation you use. It just simply states God is a rewarder. So, being diligent, I went to go find some definitions. And I looked in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. And the word rewarder means the one that rewards. And so I went to Google AI and I looked up that, and it said that a rewarder is one who rewards. Surely somebody's got a revelation of all of this. And so I went to the all-powerful ChatGPT and I asked it, what is a rewarder? And it said, a rewarder is a person, entity, or agent that gives a reward in response to an action, behavior, service, or an achievement. And then it said, examples, : God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek after him. So I got back to the dictionary and I said, well, what is a reward? And it's a thing given in recognition of one's service, effort, or achievement. And it's just so simple. The Bible just simply states that God rewards those that diligently seek after him. Amen. I could talk about diligently. Amen. But I'm just here to tell you, diligent just simply means diligent. Amen. And if you're diligent about it, you've got a God that is simply a rewarder. And the Bible says that our rewarder will reward those that seek after him. Praise God. Amen. And so, how many of you ever heard that song that we used to sing quite often? If he never blesses me again, I'm still gonna praise his name. If he never blesses me again, I'm gonna love him just the same. Yeah. My answer to that is hogwash. It really is. I want you to know that people have a hard enough time living for God when all of his daily benefits are loaded upon us. Psalm 68 and 19, read.
Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah.
Now tell me, why would anybody want to backslide? When you have benefits loaded upon you every day. It hasn't prevented anybody from backsliding. Not one. And you know what? And as much as we would like to stand and say, oh, I believe that if God never blesses me again, I'm still going to love him just the same. God knows that it ain't true. And God don't even take that into account. God says, bless you, my child. I'm going to keep on blessing you. Because you're really going to need it. Yeah, I'm telling you, we need it. Yes, we do. We need it. We are human. We are fickle. We are carnal. That's what Paul said. We need the blessings of God in our life more than we choose to realize it. We need the blessings of God. And God knows it. And so God just simply loads us daily with benefits. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And so the rewarder rewards. And there are three things that God openly rewards, feels indebted toward us for. Now, I talked about this, I guess, I don't know, a couple of Sunday nights ago. I talked about this. And I said, just hang on, because I'm going to preach a message on three things that God feels indebted to us about. And that there are three things that if we do, God says, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to reward them. Amen. So we're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. And the first thing the Bible talks about, Matthew chapter number 6, verses 1 through 4, read.
Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward.
He said, now, if you give alms so that everybody can see what you are giving, he said this, you have no reward. You have no reward. All right, read.
Yes. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms.
So when you do your alms.
Do not sound a trumpet before thee.
I'm coming with my tithe to the front. Just wanted to let everybody know. He said, don't do that.
Yeah. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. That they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have
their reward.
They got their reward. But when thou doest alms.
But when you do alms.
Let not thy left hand.
Don't even let your left hand.
Know what thy right hand doeth.
Know what your right hand is doing.
That thine alms may be in secret.
That your alms may be in secret.
And thy father.
And your rewarder.
Which seeth in secret
which
himself
sees in secret
shall reward thee
openly. He said
openly.
May
no, shall
he said most likely will
no.
He said shall
yes reward
reward
thee
openly
openly
yes. A hint here, openly means openly.
Yeah.
There's no mystical thing about that. He said what he wanted to say.
Yeah.
And so God goes through it and God says, now, if you want to get my attention, listen up. Because I'm going to tell you, if you do these things, you are going to get my attention. To the place that when you do these things, I'm going to step up and step in.
Yeah.
And I am going to do some things openly in reward to you. He
yeah.
said, he shall reward you openly.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Yes.
He said, if you give your alms and you wave them before everybody. Now, I evangelized for 4 years. I have seen all kinds of different ways that they did tithing and offering.
Yeah.
All kinds. All kinds. I've seen little buildings built that mimicked the church. And people come and put their tithing in a little slot that looked like the church building. I've seen them do it like this. I've seen them, you know, stand up publicly and say, now, we're going to take up our tithe. And so if you have your tithe, I want you to march to the front, put your tithe in the offering. And there'll be ushers that would be up there and holding offering bags. And if you have your offering, I want you to hold it. But basically, they were saying, tithers, step out. And what they were saying is, I want everybody to look around. And if people aren't stepping out, you know they ain't paying their tithe. There have been places that people that didn't pay their tithe got their name put on the back board and got disfellowshipped from the church until they started paying their tithe. I preached at one place and they said, we're going to take up our tithe. And the way that they did it was they all got in a line. And they all came down the aisle and they all walked up and they handed their tithe to the pastor. And the pastor took their tithe and put them in his coat pocket and stuff. And I know he dealt with it correctly afterwards and stuff, but this is what he did. I literally saw this while we were evangelizing there in 2007. And this lady came up and she gave him his tithe and he looked at, he's like, hey, come here. He's like, I don't want this. Take it. And she just kind of looked at him. He said, I don't accept tithes from people that have televisions in their house. You know that I preach against it. You're not obedient. Go on. well. But he said, I'm not a hireling. Yeah. You're not gonna pay your tithe, and you got television in your house. Yeah. I'm telling you, I've seen it all kinds and all different forms and fashions, all different ways. But I want you to know that alms is the compassionateness and the beneficence of your giving. Now, this is what alms means. And openly just simply means openly. As a matter of fact, the way that it is stated, that openly means that when God rewards you openly, you know where the Bible says that don't come down to the front blowing trumpets saying, hey, I'm giving my alms. But what openly is the Lord saying, that's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to blow trumpets and I'm going to say, hey, they gave their alms. You do it in secret and I'm going to reward you openly. And it even signifies instrumentally. That he's going to blow the trumpet and show everybody the blessings of God are upon you. Openly, publicly, the blessings of God are there. Yeah. I do not want you to be confused and to think that tithing is your offerings. Amen. Your alms is not your tithing. Tithing, and we're not going to get into this. I'm going to try my best to hurry up and be done within 20, 25 minutes. But your alms is not your tithing. Your tithing is 10% of your income.
Yeah.
10% of everything that you earn. That's what your tithing is. But in Malachi chapter number 3, amen, the Lord makes sure that there is a difference between the two when he says,
yes. Will a man rob God?
Will a man rob God?
Yet ye have robbed me.
He said, you have robbed me.
But ye say, wherein have we robbed
you? But you're wondering, saying, how in the world am I robbing God? Because if you go back to Malachi chapter number 1, he begins to talk about the sacrifice and the offering that is there. And he says, you know what? Take what you're giving me. Go give it to the governor and see if he accepts it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're offering unto me that which is lame, broken down, and it's faulty and all that other stuff. And you just expect me to accept that. Go give it to the governor and see if he accepts that. So they were like, well, I mean, I thought that. He said, no. He said, will a man rob God? Yet you say unto me, how have we robbed you? He said, you have. You have robbed me. And how did he do it?
Yes. In tithes and offerings.
He said, you have robbed me in tithe and offerings.
Yes.
Tithing and offerings. That's two different things. And so we know what the tithe is. The tithe is the 10% of all income. That is the tithe. Now the offering, I cannot tell you how much the offering is because the offering is to be a free will offering. I can tell you that there is an offering that is insufficient. That's what the Lord spoke in Malachi. Malachi, he said, go offer unto the governor what you're offering to me and see if he accepts it. But yet you want me to accept it? And so he says, there is an offering that is inacceptable, unacceptable. All right? Now, I know, and I preached it 4.5 years ago. And I just tell you today, I pay my tithe. I do. I pay my tithe. I pay 10% of everything that comes in. I pay my tithe that goes into the revival fund, and that's how we fund revivals, and that's how we do it. And I give an offering. Every week, I give my offering unto them. And I'll just tell you, I give 5%. I give 10% offering. I give 5%. I give 10% tithing. I give 5% offering. I give my offering. And you know what? I'm not here to strike any kudos. I'm not here. I'm just telling you what has worked for me. And at the first of the month, I give a building pledge. And at the first of the month, I give a missions pledge. I give my offerings, my tithing, my building pledge, and my mission pledge. I give it all unto God. And you know what? God has blessed me. And you know, this is not something that I started when I came to Augusta. This is something that I started when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, I adopted this practice. And I will tell you, amen, that God has been there for me through the thick and through the thin. God has blessed me with things that I didn't deserve. God has given me things. God has said, he said, see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you, that there would not be room enough to receive it. If there ain't room enough to receive it, what are you going to do? You got to make bigger. You got made bigger barns, and I don't want to get into all of that, but I'm just telling you, that's the way that God does it. And when he pours out a blessing, honey, it's done publicly. You say, well, look at that preacher. He's living high on the hog. I ain't living high on the hog. That's why I drive a used car like you drive a used car and all that other stuff, you know, and everything else and like that. But you know what? Here's the catch in all of this. When God blesses, I'm not here to preach on finances tonight. We're going to do that some other night. Amen. But when God blesses, you can't squander the blessings of God and then fault God for it. You say, well, I'm just barely making it. I'm giving unto God. Well, hold on. Hold on. It's going to take place. It's going to happen. Yeah. And then all of a sudden God blesses. And you know what people do? Praise God. Where's that credit card? And they go, and then all of a sudden, you know, they feel the relief from the raise or from the blessing that they got. And then they go charge up their debt. And then they're back in the same situation, even though God blessed. And for some reason or another, it's God's fault. It ain't God's fault. It's not God's fault because you don't know how to handle money. Right. It's not God's fault. Praise God. All right, let me get off of that. Let me stop meddling. Praise God. I want you to know that God wants to bless you.
Yeah.
And when God sees that you can take the blessing of God and not up your lifestyle to where you're in the same predicament that you were before God blessed you, but that you take your lifestyle and you bless the kingdom of God. I didn't say give it all to the kingdom of God, but you begin to bless the kingdom of God. God steps back and he says, we're going to do this again.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do. And blessings come. Because the Bible says, not me, not the Cowan Amplified Translation, the Bible, the KJV, says that he will reward you openly.
Openly, right.
There's nothing to debate about that. Yeah. I didn't make that up. No. This is not a preacher trying to get your money.
Right. Yeah, right.
Hey, I'm telling you, I've already come up on the rough side of the tracks. And if I have to go back through the rough side of the tracks, God's going to do it. But I've had places and times when I didn't know how the bills were going to get paid, and I was trying to pay the church bills. And I'm just telling you, God always came through. I go to the mailbox. I'm in California. I go to the mailbox and open the mailbox, and there is a check from some podunk town in Louisiana, a place that at that point in time I had never preached at before in my life. And here's a preacher just saying, thinking about you, here's $1,500. Take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. Just telling you, God does it. God does it. And so you know what I could say, and it's biblical, but I could say, if you want to be blessed, just take care of, you need something, go look it up on Apple Music or something like that. Look up Shirley Caesar's. It's an oldie, but it's a good one. Look up Shirley Caesar's song. She sang a song. If you want to be blessed, pay your tithe and your offerings. She said, if you want more, give it unto the Lord, and the Lord will give it back to you. Praise God. I'm just talking to you about what God said. God said, if you do this, it's not going to go unnoticed. I'm going to step up, and I'm going to take care of it publicly, because I'm not going to be indebted to you. That's not my word. That's God's word. God said, look, if you do this, just mark it down. I will come through for you openly, publicly. I will reward, that's what the Bible said, he shall reward thee openly. Yes. Praise God. Doesn't stop there. Let's go to the next one. Matthew chapter number 6, go down a few verses.
Yes. And when thou prayest.
Now he said, now when you pray.
Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are.
Here's how you don't do it.
For they love to pray standing in the synagogues.
Oh, yeah.
And in the corner of the streets.
Uh-huh.
That they may be seen of men.
They want to be seen of everybody.
Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
Well, they just got their reward.
But thou,
uh-huh.
when thou prayest.
But when you pray.
Enter into thy closet.
Enter into your closet.
And when thou hast shut thy door.
When you shut the door.
Pray to thy father,
pray
which is
to
in
the
secret.
In secret.
And thy father.
And the rewarder.
Which seeth in secret.
Which seeth in secret.
Shall reward thee openly.
Because the rewarder always rewards. Now, before you get to the place that you say, oh, well, that's why I don't pray openly in pre-service prayer, because I don't want, he's not talking about pre-service prayer stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
He's not talking about that. He's talking about personal prayer life. When we come together as a body for pre-service prayer, that's what we are there for. We are there as a body.
Right.
Praying, seeking God. But he's talking about personal prayer time. Personal prayer time. Getting on band. I don't know if this has happened. To my knowledge, it hasn't, okay? Just wanted everybody to know I'm headed to the church to go pray for 2 hours. That's what he would be talking about, all right? Jumping on Facebook. I'm not trying to be proud right now, but I just wanted everybody to know that if you need me, I'm not going to be available for the next 3 hours. I'll be at the church praying. He said, you've got your reward. If that's the way you want to do it, you got your reward. He said, but there is a different way. He said, you know, if you don't have to post it on social media, and you don't have to let everybody know. And you can enter into your closet in secret and pray to God in secret. So, well, I just wish somebody knew that I was praying. I've been up here at the church every day. I've been praying stuff, you know. And your reward is on the way.
It's coming.
Yeah. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. He said, if you can do this, the Father which seeth you in secret, he will, shall reward you openly. Now, let me go ahead and make a statement right here. For all of us that would say, oh, if I give more finances to the church, I'm going to be blessed financial. If that's the principle that you want to use, then when you pray in secret, then God's going to pray for you openly. You see what I'm saying? Don't be so closed-minded as to what the reward is. The reward is not $2 for a dollar. Because if when we pray and we're rewarded because we pray, then we would be rewarded with prayers. All right? So we're open-minded. God is going to reward in a way. Okay? And so he says, your Father, which seeth in you seek, shall reward you openly. All right, let's read on, because he's got more to say here.
But when ye pray,
when you do pray,
use not vain repetitions.
Don't use vain repetition.
As the heathen do.
That's what the heathen do.
For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking.
All right.
But not ye therefore like unto them.
Right.
For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him.
All right. So let me just say it like this. There's some people that they say, you know what, I prayed for 45 minutes. And you know what, they were here for 45 minutes. And this is what they did. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Praise God. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, or... you know, it was like, oh, God, 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 God. You know, and I just picture God up there saying, what? You know, we need to talk to God, all right? And so, now, we're not going to read all of this, but read the next part of that, Brother Micah.
After this manner, therefore, pray ye.
Now, he says, this is how you ought to pray.
Our Father,
Our Father.
Which are in heaven.
Uh-huh.
Hallowed be thy name.
Okay.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done
yep.
in earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Okay, now there's a lot more that goes with that, and you know it. Most of you could even quote it, but I want you to understand what is being done. He's not telling you necessarily the method and the how that you're going to do, that you're going to get down on your hands and you say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed yeah. be thy name, thy kingdom come. But what he is telling you to do is be specific. That's what he's telling you to do. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth and in heaven. He said, give us this day our daily bread. He said, be specific. And you know what? This got all over me today. And I came in here to the church, and I spent some time in the sanctuary being extremely specific with God. This got all over me. He said, be specific.
Yeah.
Our Father which art in heaven. Let's not get confused.
Yeah.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us today, this day, right now, this day, our daily bread. And he goes on being very specific. I came in here to the sanctuary today, and I got very specific. I told God what size of building I wanted. I told him how many classrooms, Sunday school classrooms I wanted. I told him how many offices I needed. I told him how big of a fellowship hall that I needed. I told him how many parking spots I needed. I told him the people that I know that I want to see saved. I started calling out backsliders' names of people that I do know. And I said, God, this family right here, I want to see them saved. He said, give us this day our daily bread. I started saying, God, I want to see them in church this weekend. I want to see them in church, coming to this church before this month is over. I want to see. And then I said, God, there's people that I don't even know their names, but there's a family of four out there. They've got two kids. Amen. Brother and Sister Brown, I want you to understand, we need to be very specific. And I began to pray, God, I want you to give Maya friends in this church. I want a family of six with kids four. And I want them to be before her age to after her age, and to be there for her as she grows up in this church. I started being very, very specific. I said, God, there's a brand new couple out there that they've got one kid and they're trying to raise that kid. I want them in this church. And I said, God, I want them to sit right here. Amen. I just got specific with God because he said, that's what I want. That's what I'm listening for. I don't want you saying somehow, some way, someplace, sometime, possibly could be. He said, be specific about it. So I called people's names, and I started putting it all out there. I said, God, this is what I want to see. I know it's you, and I know it's me, and I know that I have spoken it openly. And you say, well, you've got your reward. I hope not. My reward, I want God to do some things. But I want you to get that faith that when you begin to pray, you start naming names. And for those that you don't even know about, but you want to see them, I started praying for musicians. I started praying for singers. I started praying for people that can run the sound booth and media. Not because that we don't have people to do it, but because we could always use more. I said, God, you have seen the amount of money that we have put into musicians and all of these other things, and media and PA. God, we do it because we want to glorify you. We want to put our best foot forward in all of this. God, give us singers. Give us musicians. God, give us men. Give us prayer warriors. And on down there, you got to get specific with God, because when God comes to openly reward you, amen, don't let it just be anything. Let it be the specificity of your prayer. The Bible says that if you do this, he shall reward you openly.
In other words, God's going to roll out the red carpet. God's going to call the musicians. And God's going to sound the trumpet. And everybody's going to look around and see the blessings of God. Now, he wasn't done with all of these things. He said, there's a third thing that you can do that gets my attention.
Yeah.
Matthew 6, read.
Yes. Moreover,
again,
when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites.
Don't be as the hypocrites.
Of a sad countenance.
Sad countenance.
For they disfigure their faces.
To ask me what's wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just so tired. Really? Yeah, I mean, like, I'm just like, no energy, Dad. Just don't have, I'm just so tired. I'm just so. Well, why? Well, I've been fasting. He said, don't do that.
Yeah.
Read.
Yeah, that they may appear unto men to fast.
Yeah.
Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
They just got their reward.
But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face.
Wash your face.
That thou appear not unto men to fast.
That you don't appear unto everybody that you're fasting. Get yourself a rag, wipe your face with cold water, clean up, and do your best to act like nothing's going on. Read.
But unto thy Father, which is in secret.
You're doing this to your Father, which is in secret.
And thy Father.
And the rewarder.
Which seeth in secret.
Which seeth in secret.
Shall
reward,
thee openly.
Reward you openly. Let's stand. God says there's some things that you can do. Does that not speak of how much God really wants to bless his people? God's like, look, you know what? You know I can do exceeding abundantly above all that I can, that you can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And you know that I can do all things. And you know that I will give you power over all the power of the enemy. And you know that all power in heaven and earth belongs unto me. You know all of those things. You know that I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. You know that I'm building heaven for you with streets of gold and all that other stuff. You know all of this. You know that there's nothing that I do not have. And he talked about which father that a child would come unto him and ask for a piece of bread and he would give him a rock or give him a snake or whatever. He said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you things, precious gifts and such? So we all know this, but God said, now, but if you want to take it a step further, you know, we know I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. We know all of that. But God said, if you want to take it a step further, there are some things that you can do. And I will not be indebted to you. When you do these things, I'm not just going to sit back. This is why Cornelius could offer up prayers, and the Bible said his prayers came up as an alms before the Lord. He gave prayers and he gave alms, but it came up as a memorial before the Lord. And finally the Lord said, all right, I'm going to step in, I'm going to do something publicly about this. And the Lord put this little deal, Matthew chapter number 6, he put this in here for you and for me. And he said, if you do this, I will not be indebted to you. 3 times he said, I shall
reward you openly. He said, you give alms in a way that doesn't attract attention and all that other stuff. He said, I'm going to come in and I'm going to reward you openly. He said, you find that place of prayer and that you're praying diligently and seeking my face and nobody really knows about it. He said, I'm going to step in and I'm going to reward you openly. He said, every day that you fast and nobody has to say, hey, can we fast today? But you step back and you say, you know what? I'm going to fast because I've got to see something happen. God said, oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to see something happen. It's what his word says. He shall reward you openly. That's not my word. That's not my belief system. That's God's word, and that's God's belief system. You say, so if I give $100, is he going to give me $1,000? I don't know. He may give you $10,000. But I do know he's going to do something. But there have been times that I have given unto the Lord and I've seen other things happen. It wasn't because that I got blessed back financially, but there were other things that happened. And what if it was that I gave a little bit extra and it caused somebody in my family to be saved because the Lord stepped in and said, you know what, you've been given extra and you've been praying, you've been fasting, I'm just going to come in and do the work for it. I'm not going to limit God to how he's supposed to reward me. It just simply said that he will reward. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. It's a principle that is in God's word. God will do it. God will do it. And so I just want you to consider this, and I want you to think about it. And maybe there's some things that are on your mind and that's in your heart. Some needs that you have, some prayers that you need answered. Maybe medical needs in your life. Whatever it is, whatever it is. There's a principle that it's in God's word. I said, if you do these things, and he didn't say, look, if you give your alms and pray and fast, then I will reward you. No. Each one had their own individual reward. God said, you won't outdo me. You won't outgive me. You won't outperform me. It's not going to happen. I won't allow that to happen. I will step in and I will reward openly. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know about you, but it does something to me. It does something to me. I don't have the time, and right now is not the right time. It's not the right time. But I am telling you, God is going to step in a way that is going to blow our minds. I've talked to Brother Worth, I've talked to others, and Brother Worth and I, we sat down one day and we got to talking about some things. He said this, he said, you know, he said, this little church has always amazed me at what it gives. I told the Lord today, I said, God, I had $40,000 in envelopes on that back wall. $20,000 two different times. And I said, it's gone. When I came here, there was about $20,000, something like that, in the building fund. We replaced a few things. We did a new air conditioning system. We did a hot water heater and all that other stuff. We did a keyboard and stuff like that. Took care of a few things. We got a new PA system. God blessed us there. That is an $8,000 board. And God said, if you'll wait 2 years, I'll give it to you for $2,500. I said, I'll wait. $2,500, and I got an $8,000 board. You know what God was saying? I'm just going to go ahead and take care of the future too. We're not even 5 years into this. Not even 5 years into it. Building fund is over $100,000. Where did it come from? We did a few fundraisers. It's God multiplying, blessing. It's God moving upon you. And when God saw that you would bless the kingdom, He blessed you even more. I've had people come to me and tell me, Pastor, I've gotten X number percent of raises. My income has increased so many percent. Mind-boggling. Because God says, I won't be outdone. I won't be outdone. And you may be at the top of the ladder and you may say, I just don't know how that it could get any better. Then you don't really understand God. Because opportunity will come knocking. God will come by. And God will provide ways. I'm just saying it happens. And it's going to continue to happen. And I want to be right in the fat middle of all of it. Amen. I want to be right in the middle of the greatest revival this whole area has ever seen. I want to be right in the middle of the big blessing that everybody is going to turn and look at us and say, how did that ever happen? God did it. God did it. And God will. He will do it. Can we love Him here tonight?